So the Bible reading today is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. And if you're using the red Bibles up the back, it's on page 201. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Morning, everybody. My name's David Lynch. I'm the pastor here at Summerlees, and it's great to be kicking off this new series together now in the book of Deuteronomy. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get stuck into our talk. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together like this and to open up your word. And for us at Summerlees, this is really, I guess, one of the most key parts of our meeting together. In fact, it's the most key part because the one thing that we are studying here that directly comes from you is your word, the Holy Scriptures. And it's just wonderful to be able to open them, to read what they say, and then just to spend some time thinking about them and thinking about how they apply to our lives. Lord, we want to thank you for Deuteronomy. We started this series last year, and it was great to look at chapters 1 to 12, but it's great to come back and see what the rest of the book has to say. We need your help now. We pray that you would be working in us. Help us to concentrate. Help us to listen. Help us to understand. But most of all, Lord, we ask that you'd change us. We know we are so far from perfect. We're all works in progress. And we need your help to change. We pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us of the truths that we read here, that he would change the way we think about things, the things that we value, the way that we look at you, at one another, at the world around us, and that you would make us more like your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as I just said, we're kicking off the second part of our Choose Life series today, which is in the book of Deuteronomy. It's a series we started last year, so if you were here at Summerlees last year, you'll remember that we worked through chapters 1 to 12 of Deuteronomy, which is sort of the first major chunk of the book. Deuteronomy is in sort of three main bits, 1 to 11 is sort of the first, 12 to 25 is the second, and we might do the last bit next year. So this way, this year we're starting at chapter 12. We're going to work all the way through to chapter 25. But I thought before that we sort of sink into the series proper, it would be super helpful for us to begin with a bit of an introductory sermon. So really the big thing that we're going to look at today is an introduction to this chunk of Deuteronomy, chapters 12 to 25. And I think it's important for us to start this way because Deuteronomy is one of those books, and particularly this bit of Deuteronomy, is one of those parts of Scripture where it's just very easy to get lost. There's a lot of detail, a lot of stuff that seems very strange, and actually if you just sort of jump straight in there, you find yourself a little bit lost and a little bit sort of, well, what am I meant to do with all this stuff that I'm reading about? I actually think that Deuteronomy 12 to 25 can be a little bit like the Tasmanian wilderness. Now, that's on my mind because I've just been on a bit of a bushwalk. But for those of you that have ever been out there in the deep southwest of Tasmania, you'll know that it's very dense, it's very thick, it's quite hard going at times. And if you're not careful, you can get lost. Okay, so if you were just to just jump out of a helicopter in the middle of the southwest and sort of land there, parachute down, you'd find yourself in a place that looks a bit like this. Now, it's very beautiful, of course, quite amazing in many ways, but it's wild out there. There's no paths, there's no sense of direction. If you're kind of down there at ground level in the forest, that's all you see all around you, and you can get completely lost. So what do you do? Well, if you need to make it through, you probably need to get yourself a bit of perspective. You need to orientate yourself. So you might, say, try and find a mountain and climb up on the mountain. Okay, and then that's a bit more helpful, isn't it, when you're up on a mountain? You can kind of see a lot more. It gives you a bit of perspective. You can see other mountains around the place. You can see lakes. You can get the lay of the land a bit. Getting up on a mountain can really, really help you if you're kind of lost in the middle of the wilderness. But of course, you can go a step further than that in terms of perspective, which is much better. And it's taking something that everyone should have on a bushwalk, and that is a map. Yeah? And if you've got a map, well, you've gone one better than a mountain, haven't you? Because the map zooms right in. It shows you exactly where you are, helps you see where your bit of bush is, where it fits in with the whole area. And really, it's the best way for you to get orientated, the best way for you to get a sense of direction, the best way to help you see the big picture. Now, what I want to put to you today is that this is what we need for Deuteronomy 12 to 25. I think we need to get orientated. I think we need maps and mountains, things that we can get up on and get perspective with, because Deuteronomy 12, 25, as I said, is a bit like the Tasmanian wilderness. It's just so dense and it's chock-a-block with all of these laws and rules for how the people of Israel are to live. And I've got to tell you, some of them are super detailed. Some of them just seem plain weird. And some of them even seem a bit wrong to us as we kind of look back over a couple of thousand years later. So with a lot of these laws that we're going to look at, it can be very difficult to know, well, how am I meant to take this stuff that I'm reading about and actually apply it to life in the 21st century? Do I apply it to life in the 21st century at all even? Yeah. So if you're just to parachute into the middle of Deuteronomy 12 to 25, you'll get lost. You'll get lost. It's so easy to go wrong, and people go wrong all the time when they sort of just jump straight into the middle of these big Old Testament law sections. So what I want us to do before we start this section properly, and we'll get into the first passage next week, I think we need to get orientated. We need an introduction. We need to get our bearings so that we don't get lost. Now, what I want to give you this morning is four key areas that are going to help us get orientated. I think there's these four key areas that if we kind of get our heads around those and understand them well and really tuck them under our belts or put them into our biblical rucksack, yeah, they will help us to stay orientated, they'll stop us getting lost, and they'll help us make our way through this kind of murky, dense part of Scripture that's full of wonderful stuff but that we really need to be well orientated with. So what are they? Well, the first one, I think, is the context of the book. Yeah, we first of all need to get orientated in the context of the book of Deuteronomy itself. We need to know how chapters 12 to 25 fit in with the whole of Deuteronomy. Let me just take you back a little bit. So we looked at some of this last year, but if you're new, this might be a bit new for you. When you get to the book of Deuteronomy, you find God's people in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, are at a crucial turning point. So I'm just going to move that off the microphone so it doesn't keep banging. Are at a crucial turning point in their history. And they're being asked to make a choice. Now, as Kathy pointed out before, the consequences for what they choose are enormous. It's the difference between having a future of blessing and freedom or it's having a future of judgment and loss. That's the choice they're making. That's the consequences for the choice. Okay. And I think one of the key verses that really show us this are those verses that Alice read out to us before. Chapter 30, 19 to 20. Let's just read them again quickly together because it's such a great sort of summary of the book, I think, these verses. If you really want to know what's Deuteronomy all about, you can't really do much worse than this, okay? Much better than this, sorry. Gosh. I've caught Mel's kind of saying the wrong thing all the time thing. Thanks, Mel. Okay, so chapter 30, verses 19 to 20. This day, and I'll try and read it properly. This day, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. See the choices there, the two options. There's life and death. There's blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what you see there is that in Deuteronomy, you've got this call that's the call of God to his people Israel, and he's calling on them to make the right choices. They're to choose God. They're to follow God. And if they make that choice, then they'll be choosing life. But why is there such this sort of big emphasis on choice. Why has God given us this book that's all about making this choice to choose him? Well, you see that in chapters 1 to 3, and we looked at this in the very first sermon we did on Deuteronomy last year. You can go listen to it on the website if you weren't here. But what you see in chapters 1 to 3 is that God's people were actually on the verge of going into the promised land. Okay, I've got a little map up here. Oh, whoops, what have I done? I've killed it. Oh, there it is. Great. I was trying to find my laser. There it is. My little laser. Woo! So this is a good little map. Here's the promised land up here. And by the time we get to Deuteronomy, they've come out of Egypt. They've made all their way through the desert. And they're up here, right on the border of what's now sort of modern-day Israel. And they're about to enter the promised land. Moses led them out of slavery. They've made it to the plains of Moab, right on the verge, about to go in. And what God is saying to them is that if you're going to enter this land, and if you're going to live a life of blessing, then you have to make the choice to follow me. Now, the thing that you've got to remember is that 40 years earlier, they were at a similar point. They weren't up on this border, they were down here on this border. Okay? They're at a similar point, about to enter in, and again, God was calling them to obey him. But at that point, the people of Israel decided they weren't going to choose God. They chose not to choose God. And it all went pear-shaped. That entire generation ended up doing this circle here for 40 years, just wandering around in the desert, and pretty much the entire generation of them died. That entire generation died. But now this new generation are back, and God's laying the same choice before them again. Will they choose life, choose to follow God, stay faithful to him, or will they do what their ancestors did and choose death? They're going to follow God, or aren't they? Now, I whizzed through all of that. If you weren't here, as I said, last year, it'd be well worth jumping on the website, listen to that sermon on Deuteronomy 1 to 3, because it goes into way more detail there. But what I'm trying to show you is that this history, this material that we get in Deuteronomy 1 to 3, I would say that's really the big picture of what Deuteronomy is about. I reckon it's a bit like the map. Yeah, if we used our sort of picture of the bushwalk, this whole idea of choosing life, the historical context of being about to enter the promised land and needing to choose God, it's like the map. It's the big thing that orientates you. And so you know everything that you're going to read in Deuteronomy somehow is going to come back to this idea. Somehow fits into this big idea of choice, of the people about to enter the land and being asked to choose. Okay, that's our map. So that's our big idea. But now, you come out of chapter 3 and you come into chapter 4 to 5, and really what's going on there is it's almost like you're zeroing in a level. Okay, so we were at the map, but when you come to chapters 4 and 5, it's a bit like you're standing on the mountain. Okay, so you're another level of detail in, and what you see in chapters 4 to 5 is that choosing life, choosing God, means choosing God's word. And that's summarised in the Ten Commandments. So we've looked at the map, that's the big idea. You come in a level more in chapters 4 to 5, and you see that actually to choose life means obeying God's word as summarised in the Ten Commandments. Yep, so we've looked at the map, we're now on the mountain. Now, the section we've got, 12 to 25, is like we're getting a detail, going in more detail still. We're getting even more specific, and it's like we're actually coming down into the bush and we're looking at all the trees individually. Okay, we're right down in the forest. And that's what chapters 12 to 25 does for us. It's where we get the details. It's where we see what it means to follow God's word in detail. Okay, so they're to choose life, come in a level more. Choosing life means obeying God's word, and there's a summary in the Ten Commandments. Now, in the section we're going to look at, we're actually seeing what it means in detail for Israel to obey God's word. It's drilling right down into all of the nitty-gritty. Okay? So that's how our section fits into the book of the whole. If you're going to look at the context of Deuteronomy, this is where chapters 12 to 25 fit in. And unless we understand this, we're going to really struggle to get our heads around what's going on in chapter 12 to 25. It'll all just seem a bit random and out there and crazy, okay? But this is what's going on. It's giving us the details of what it means to live out the Ten Commandments, what it means to live life in God's land, following God's word. It's the context of the book. But of course, Deuteronomy 12 to 25 fits into more than just Deuteronomy, doesn't it? Because we've actually got a Bible. Yeah. So Deuteronomy is a great book on its own, but it's actually part of a bigger book, part of God's greater revelation, and actually fits into the Bible. So if we're going to understand Deuteronomy chapter 12 to 25, in fact, if we're going to understand Deuteronomy full stop, we have to know how it fits into the Bible as a whole. And so that's our next helpful orientation context. It's the context of the Bible. Now, this one is super important because this tends to be where Deuteronomy gets misunderstood all the time. Yeah, but often when people make big mistakes with understanding this part of Deuteronomy, it's because they don't get how it fits in with the Bible as a whole. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Dr. Laura Schlesinger. She used to be quite a famous Jewish author and radio host over in the US. And what she used to do on her radio show and in the books that she published is she would offer all kinds of super-duper practical advice on everything from parenting to kind of marriage and relationships and ethics. And what she'd do is she'd try and take Old Testament principles and sort of work those out to show how you should parent your kids or relate in your marriage or relate to people at work or make ethical decisions. Anyway, she had a lot of fans, but she also, as you can probably imagine, had a lot of people that didn't like her very much. And I found an anonymous post. It was a sort of an open letter, really, on her website that I'm sure you'll detect is just dripping with sarcasm, but I want to read an excerpt from it to you, okay? The author writes this. He or she says, "Dear Dr. Laura, thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. I've learned a great deal from your show, and I try to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some specific laws and how to follow them. Firstly, I would like to sell my daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21, verse 7. But in this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? Point two, I have a neighbour who insists on working on the Sabbath. Now, Exodus 35, verse 2 clearly states that he should be put to death. Am I morally obliged to kill him myself? I know from Leviticus 11, verses 6 to 8, that touching the skin of a dead pig makes me unclean, but may I still play football if I wear gloves? I know you've studied these things extensively, so I'm confident that you can help. Thank you again for reminding us that God's word is eternal and unchanging, your devoted disciple and adoring fan." Now, the tone of that letter is not particularly gracious and doesn't seem to be all that open to a sort of an open-minded discussion, I don't think. But I'm sure most of us can kind of relate to the problem that it raises. Yeah? I think even as a Christian, perhaps you've had moments where you've read things in the Old Testament and you've thought, what's kind of with that? Sounds sort of so wrong. Am I really meant to live life that way? It does raise a problem. And then maybe you know people that kind of have massive issues with that. Or you watch Richard Dawkins on Q&A and you see him raise all these issues with Christianity and kind of challenge people to go, well, hang on, the Old Testament says this. Is that really what you believe? Is that really how you want to live your life? You know the kind of issue that raises? You see, the Old Testament, it really does just contain a whole heap of seemingly harsh, weird laws that just clang against much of what we believe about what's good and right. And as you read through Deuteronomy 12 to 25, you'll find that section is just laden with them. They're everywhere. Your false prophets and idolaters are be to put to death. Showing contempt for a judge and seriously rebelling against your parents are punishable by death. There are rules that regulate taking women as plunder. Men are commanded to marry their widowed sister-in-law. There's a whole host of other commands that really seem quite sexist and deprive women of choice and power. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. If you were to read right through the section, you'd find a whole bunch of laws that just seem at best sort of weird and at worst actually seem to be quite wrong. So what do we do with those commands as Christians that want to take God's word seriously? Are they binding and enduring for all time? Or do we need to understand them in a bit of a different way? It's a really important question, because if we get this wrong, we're going to get very, very lost. Well, this is where I think the context of the Bible is just so helpful for us and just so key for us to keep in mind as we work through this section of Deuteronomy. Because what you see in the Bible is that actually these laws in Deuteronomy are not permanent and enduring. Okay, they were for a very specific time and a very specific place. Now, I'm not just trying to do a fudge here and sort of just take the bits of the Bible that I like and just sort of deal with the bits that I don't like by saying, they don't apply anymore, don't worry about them, just ignore those bits and look at these bits. I'm not trying to do that. This is actually how the Bible tells us we should read it. Yeah. So you actually look at the Bible itself, this is how it tells you we should read the Bible. The Old Testament itself actually shows you this. One of the key passages would be Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 32. Where it says this, it says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Yeah, Deuteronomy is the old covenant, but the Old Testament is saying, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers. Yeah, that's the stuff that we're looking at in Deuteronomy. This new thing is going to be different. It's not going to be like the one that I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. You could look at Ezekiel 36, you'd see a similar thing. So even the Old Testament itself did not see the laws of Deuteronomy as binding for all people at all times. It visualizes, it pictures something better, something newer. Now, of course, when you come across into the New Testament, you get to see this new covenant in all of its fullness. And maybe one of the great places to go is Hebrews 10, verse 1, where it says, "The law is only a shadow." Yeah. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. It's not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. You see, when you zero out and you look at the context of the Bible is saying that actually the Old Testament laws, these laws that we're going to look at in Deuteronomy 12 to 25, they were always meant to be a shadow, a signpost. Yeah? Something that was pointing to something else. It wasn't going to be the end state of affairs. It was never meant to be God's ideal of how society is to operate. No. It was always a picture, a shadow, a signpost pointing to something else. And that something is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus that God relates to us now. It's through his death that we are forgiven for our sin. It is through his perfect life that we're clothed in his righteousness so that God sees us as his perfect children. Our relationship with God does not rely on us obeying laws. Under the New Testament, our relationship with God is through grace, through the undeserved gift of God's perfect Son given to save us from our sin that we might inherit perfect eternal lives. Now, what that means is that if you want to see what God's ideal for human society looks like, then you've got to look at Jesus. You've got to look at the gospel. Because Deuteronomy, if you just stop at Deuteronomy, you're going to go wrong. Deuteronomy is always pointing to the gospel. It's pointing away from itself to something else. Deuteronomy and the laws it has there, that was never meant to be the finished product. It was never meant to be the ideal. It was always temporary. Now, this doesn't mean that it's not important. And it certainly doesn't mean it has nothing to teach us, because we're going to do a whole series on it. Obviously, we think it's got a lot to teach us. And it does. It will help us understand sin. It'll help us understand God's holiness. It will help us understand God's grace and our desperate need for Jesus Christ. It does and give us so much wisdom on how to live our lives. But what I'm hoping you can see is that it's not a moral code for society that we just sort of take and apply straight across to the 21st century. If you do that, you're going to get lost. And we've got to get it right. I've heard people get lost here all the time. I've heard people take Deuteronomy and use it to defend slavery, to use it to deprive women of their rights. I've even heard people use it to justify war. It's incredible. But that's getting lost. If you're doing that, you're missing the point. You're missing what it was written to do. You've lost perspective. You're in the rainforest and you don't know where you are. No, we need the context of the Bible if we're to understand this section in Deuteronomy. It's got lots to teach us, but we've got to read it through New Testament eyes. We've got to read it through the lens of Jesus. Try and apply it straight across, you'll get lost. So you'll notice each week as we work through this section, we're going to be looking at how the things we learn in Deuteronomy flow through the New Testament and are filled in Jesus Christ. And that's where we find the true application for us. Okay, we need the context of the Bible. Even with all that said, it might be that you're still feeling a little bit uneasy because you understand what I said about Deuteronomy being fulfilled in Jesus. But the fact that God commanded some of these things at all may still leave you with doubts about God's character. Even if these things were temporary, the fact that God commanded them at all may just leave you with doubts about God's goodness. I mean, if God really is good, how could he ever have allowed for so many things that just to us seem so wrong? And I want to suggest this is the third area that we can get really lost in if we're not careful. And so the third thing that we need to make sure we understand is the context of ancient history. Okay. This is the third thing that I think we need to have our heads around. So we've looked at the context of the book, we've looked at the context of the Bible, but the third thing that we need to get our heads around is the context of ancient history. Because the thing is, when we read the laws of Deuteronomy from the perspective of the 21st century, many of them do seem a bit like a step backwards. However, if you know a bit about ancient Near Eastern history, then the thing that really strikes you when you read Deuteronomy is not that they're a step backwards. The thing that strikes you is how incredibly progressive and positive they are. Yeah, the Deuteronomy is positively revolutionary for its time. In fact, it's massively ahead of its time. These laws are an enormous improvement to the surrounding cultures of the ancient Near East. Now, yes, they are quite patriarchal. Yes, the punishments are harsh. Yes, there is still things like slavery and all sorts of stuff that sounds wrong to us. But what we need to understand is that compared to everything else around it at the time, this is a striking improvement. A striking improvement. The reality is that the ancient Near East was a horrible place to live. Life back then was very tough. If we dropped you out of a parachute into the ancient Near East, you wouldn't last 5 seconds. You'd actually be better off being dropped into the middle of the Tasmanian wilderness. Life was harsh. Life was cheap. Life was violent. Power was abused in horrendous ways. If you were a woman or a child or a slave or just plain poor, you had no rights, you had no protection, and you were completely vulnerable. Now, when you understand this, you start to see just how revolutionary Deuteronomy actually is. Suddenly, women and slaves have got rights and have got protection. Suddenly, the poor are looked after. There is provision for refugees. There's debt relief. The powers of the king are incredibly constrained and restricted. There's a very strict justice system that's overseen directly by God himself and guarantees that that power can't be abused. Is it perfect? No. And as we've seen, it's actually not God's final enduring vision for humanity and the way society should operate. So it's not perfect yet. But is it a decisive, radical step in the right direction? as God begins to lift humanity out of the disgusting mess it's made for itself through sin. Yes, it is. It is an amazing, decisive step in the right direction. And I guess this is the thing that we kind of need to understand. It sort of, it just takes in the movement of the Bible as a whole. What you have throughout the Bible is a very gradual restorative movement. Okay, so last year in our Genesis series, we saw that we started up here with creation, Garden of Eden. It was this beautiful, wonderful setting, idyllic, people looking after each other, people loving each other. But then you come down and we saw in Genesis 3, sin enters the world. It's a disaster. And from there on, there's this downward spiral as sin gets worse and worse, as death takes a toll, and things just become so awful and messed up. But from there, what you have is God beginning a steady, gradual process of restoration. And what that begins with is the law of Moses. The things that we're going to study in chapters 12 to 25. It's the first major step. But as we saw in the last point, the plan is not to stay there. Yeah? It's never meant to be the finished point. That's just the first step. Because then, as you come across, you get Jesus, he ushers in the age of the New Testament. That's the age that we're living in now, and the age of grace, the age of gospel-shaped living. But we're not done yet. Things are far from perfect now, aren't they? What we're looking forward to is when Jesus returns. And then we will see God's ultimate plan for human society fully realized in all of its perfect glory. And it's going to be better than the Garden of Eden. We mustn't get stuck here. It's just a step. Now, it's a gradual step. It's not all at once. God has chosen to work in and through human culture, and that takes time to change. There can only be so many changes. People can't be completely rewired all at once. Change too much at once and you lose communication, you lose understanding. People can't cope. They don't have the categories to understand anymore. People's categories have to be adjusted slowly. Slowly but surely, but they have to be adjusted slowly. And so what you see in Deuteronomy and through the Old Testament is God graciously, patiently changing things step by step. And there are radical changes made. The most radical is that the only one true God can be worshipped. And that's by far and away the most important change, because it's the basis of anything else changing. But there's more for God to do. There's more for God to do. Now, I know none of what I've said is going to make reading Deuteronomy comfortable. I think God has chosen to reveal himself to us through all of the mess of human history and culture. And that makes his revelation confronting, makes it challenging. I think often, you know, we wish that Christianity was like those religions that claim that God's just delivered a nice, neat sort of package, prepackaged message, you know, that's completely divorced from human history and all the muck of humanity. But the Christian faith isn't like that. We believe in a God who actually gets his hands dirty and gets involved and reveals himself through human history. But that means that we get to read the scriptures in the light of that history. And it's what makes Christianity so gutsy and earthy and substantial. But we've got to bear that history in mind when we read it, or we'll get lost. So where have we been? Well, we've seen the context of the book. We've seen the importance of the context of the Bible. We've looked at the importance of the context of ancient history. There's just one more thing I want us to look at, and then we're done. And that's this. It's the context of your life. You see, at the end of the day, God has given us Deuteronomy to help transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's why it's here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, it says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, what that means is that Deuteronomy 12 to 25 has been given to you to help thoroughly equip you for the Christian life. That's why it's there. And so whilst we can talk about it, and we can analyse it, and we can think about it, at the end of the day, we actually have to listen to it, and as Christians, submit our lives to it. And I guess I just want to wrap up by asking you, are you ready and waiting to listen? Will you commit to showing up for this series so that you don't miss out on what this amazing section of Scripture's got to say to you? Will you come ready to be challenged? Will you listen and obey even when there are things that are really confrontive or things that make you feel defensive? And finally, will you commit to putting into practice the things that this section of Scripture has to teach? Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit as he takes the words of Deuteronomy and convicts you of what they have to say and then helps you live them out. See, this series cannot be just an intellectual exercise for us. This is the life-changing Word of God. And I'd like us to close now by asking God to help us to listen and to put it to work in the context of our lives. Can you pray that prayer with me? Let's pray. Father, it's an amazing thing that you have been at work in human history, through human culture, with all of the mess and strife and trouble that it is. But you've done that so that you can reveal yourself to us so clearly and teach us so well. And we know that that's just what we have in the book of Deuteronomy. And so we want to thank you for that piece of Scripture, Lord. But we pray that you'd help us as we hit chapters 12 to 25. Please help us not to get lost in the detail. Help us to bear in mind the context of the book, the context of the Bible as a whole. Help us to be willing to look at it in the light of the context of history. But most of all, Father, we want this to fit into the context of our lives. We want this to be a life-changing experience for us. We know that we've all got so much growing to do, and so we need your help that we might be changed week after week as we engage with what you've written in this book for us. And we ask you to help us with all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.